Okay, so we were discussing this Gemara just very quickly, run over again, of Hahu Arma'a, very famous Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis, of this non-Jew who basically passed himself off every year as a Jew in order to participate in the Korban Pesach. I was going to say the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, but he wasn't interested in the mitzvah. I don't know what he was interested in. He was, you know, basically presenting himself as a Jew, and he was participating in the portions of the Korban Pesach. I don't know how that worked in terms of Chabura. I don't really know how that was, but either way, and he used to come back and boast about it, and he was discovered because of his boasting by Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who kind of ensnared him by, you know, suggesting to him that he could ask for an even better portion, the portion of the Aliyah, which is Karev Lemizbeach. So that would be kind of a sign by requesting this that would signal the, you know, the Chachamim, you know, that he wasn't authentic. And then Kachava, that's the Gemara story. That's again, Hahu Arma'a. This is on Gimel Amud Beis. Just look at it one more time very quickly. That there was a certain Anan Judah, of a Solik Liachel Psachim Yerushalayim, who used to be Ola Laregel, if you will, and eat Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. Amar, and then he would boast about it, saying, Siv Korban Echer Layochabo, Kol Ora Layochabo. Said, you're not allowed to do this, and they're giving me the best portions. So so he set him up by saying, did they give you the Aliyah? He said, no. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said, he said, you know, next time you go, next year when you go up, make sure they give you the Aliyah. You don't know what you're missing. So kisalik amalahu, he said to them, "May Alia Safuli, you know, give me from the Alia." Amrle Alia Lagavoa Solka. So they said to him, "Listen, the Alia is something which is Karev on the Mizbeach. What are you talking about?" So Amrle. So then they said, "Man Amalach Achi, who gave you this advice to request the Alia?" And Amalahu Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Amru, that they said, my hide to come on, like what's going on here? And then Bodku Basrei Vashkuchu Dharma Hu Vikotlu, and then they gave him the death penalty for this. That's what I want to discuss in just a minute. And then Shochel Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Shalom Loch Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Da'at ben Etzivin, Misudasech Prusa Birushalayim. They said, listen, you live far away, but you're running the show. And they meant it as a compliment, meaning that he, number one, took responsibility, and number two, that he was wise and capable of long distance impact. Okay, so that's a Gemara. So there are two questions that we were discussing. The big question we discussed was Tosis' question: where was Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Why was he not in Yerushalayim eating Korban Pesach himself? He's the recipient, you know, of the return, when this fellow returned afterwards. He told Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra knew nothing of it. Where was Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? How could he have not participated in such a mitzvah? So that's a discussion that we had, that we began a couple of weeks ago and finished last week. And that is that there are different perspectives about this question. There are some who are of the opinion, like the Tzlach and the Netziv, that no one is obligated per se to place himself geographically in an area which will trigger a chiyuv Korban Pesach. That's if you choose to be berichuk makom, 15 mil away from the Azara, if you choose to that, then you're not obligated in Korban Pesach at all to begin with. Okay? That is the view of the Tzlach and of the Tziv. Tziv says further, the Tziv says if you're in Chutz Laretz, then not only are you exempt, you're not obligated as a chovas agavra to make yourself b'kiruv makom to be chayv korban Pesach Rishon. You're not even chayv for Pesach Sheni. That's something the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Korban Pesach anticipated but rejected, but it's something that the Netziv embraces. So that's one view. Then Minchas Chinuch doesn't have a good answer to Tosis' question, but he thinks that this is totally inconceivable. He says, listen, you're not allowed to wake up the morning of Rosh Hashanah and all of a sudden say, oh, now's the Chiyuv? I don't happen to have a shofar and I can't get one. Or, you know, you wake up the morning of Sukkot and you say, ooh, the Chiyuv only begins now. It didn't begin even last night, never mind the day before. So I wasn't obligated to get Dalad Minim, and now I don't have them. So Minchas Chinuch says, would anybody think that that's anus? Would anybody think that you're not obligated to prepare in advance, knowing that there's a mitzvah that is upcoming? So is Korban Pesach less than shofar and lulav? That's the question of the Minchas Chinuch. I wanted to make the question stronger, so I added, and Korban Pesach, unlike shofar and lulav, is a mitzvah seishesh bakares. So it's even more pressing, one would think. So you don't have to, you can wait till the Zman Achiyuv, and then if you're in the right place, or if you have the right utensils or accoutrements, you know, then you're mechuyav, but you're not obligated to take steps proactively to put yourself in the right situation. So the Minchas Chinuch thinks it's just wrong. He doesn't have a good answer for Tosfos' question, but he does think that it's incorrect. I was also suggesting that maybe there's a link between something which the Mishnah Melech and Hilchos Korban Pesach and, you know, the Tzlach agree upon, and that is Tosfos also saying that there is kind of an overlap in the Peturim of Aliyah L'Regel and the Peturim of Korban Pesach. And I was trying to make a case last week for saying that maybe there is, that maybe it's in the nature of the holiday of Pesach being kind of a paradigm Yom Tov, that maybe some of these things make sense. But the bigger point I was trying to make was to explain the Tzlach and the Netziv and maybe Tosis against the Mishnah Melech, against the Minchas Chinuch. And that's what I was trying to explain, was the following idea. Instead of looking at everything in terms of Kula and Chumrah, we need to look at the nature of the Chiyuv Korban Pesach. That's what I finished with. I just want to repeat it for a minute because it's going to be relevant to the next point. And that is, Korban Pesach is a singular obligation. You could look at it in terms of Chomer and Kula, in which case it's certainly Chomer. There are only two mitzvahs asei sheish bakaris. One is Mila, and the other one is Korban Pesach. Surely that's not a coincidence. And even if you look at the way the Rambam formulates them, it's interesting, he does it differently. I don't want to get into this right now, I just want to mention it for a minute. In Hilchos Mila, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, when the Rambam speaks about the fact that there's a Chiyuv Kares, he says it's a mitzvah asei sheyesh bo kares. Now, he characterizes the asei based on the onesh. The fact that this has a singular onesh, meaning bris mila, shows you it's an unusual, central, you know, different kind of a mitzvah asei. When it comes to Korban Pesach, interestingly enough, when the Rambam speaks about the kares, he speaks about it as an onesh. He doesn't speak about it as something that characterizes the asei. It's almost like this is, and I'm not saying one is more than the other. I think they're just each unique. In Mila, it's a mitzvah asei sheish bakares, but it's all mitzvah asei. In Korban Pesach, the neglect of it is almost a lav, even though it's in the form of an asei. So either way, it's an unusual mitzvah in every way. How many mitzvahs have what Korban Pesach has? A Pesach Sheni, a month later. Lama Nigara, as if, like, you know, it's inconceivable we're going to miss out on the spiritual opportunity. That's a remarkable thing. Even the phrase Nigara, which appears also in Splot Safchad, it appears also, by the way, in Shibud Mitzrayim. But typically the word Nigara is very rare in the Torah. And I think it means diminished. Like in Parshas Paloska, those who couldn't participate in Korban Pesach felt that they were, you know, being deprived of something, that they were diminished by the inability to participate. They weren't looking for an excuse. Opposite. They were saying, don't discriminate against us, you know, by diminishing us, by not allowing us an opportunity to be involved in this extraordinary thing. Like, what is it about Korban Pesach? But I think that its kulas and its chumras are connected. And I think that's what the Tzlach has in mind. Meaning, the idea of Korban Pesach is that it's a Korban Amunah, as we discussed. I'm going to add to this in a minute. It's Ad Sheyishchatu Eloheim Le'eneihem. The psukim that we're going to, you know, that we're reading now in Parshas Bo, you know, that's Parshas HaShavua, right? Meaning, this is the God of the Egyptians, and this slave people have the temerity, the you know, the confidence, and they didn't. That makes it even more, because we know that they were, you know, plagued by slave mentality. The Ibn Ezra says that even after Yetzias Mitzrayim, the reason they panicked Alayam was because they couldn't get psychologically out of their mind the fact that these were their oppressors. They had a slave mentality. According to Ibn Ezra, that's why the Dor HaMidbar had to really die out, in addition to their chet, or the chet reflected that. So imagine this people that had been scarred psychologically by being, enslaved, and they never really got over that. And yet they could muster, temporarily at least, the conviction and the principle to shecht, to slaughter the Egyptian god, right, in the presence of the Egyptians, as an expression of Amunah B'Hashem. That's a very remarkable thing. Small wonder that Korban Pesach came to be perceived as kind of the equivalent of Bris Milah for the Yachid, for the Tzibur. But because it's a Tzibur din, and it has these standards, right, in a way, you have to turn it into, in order to justify, you have to kind of turn it into a kind of a lav or a kind of a rejection. And even more so, you have to be in the zone where the tzibur, you know, is determinative. You have to be in the vicinity of Yerushalayim. You have to be within Kiruv Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, the Korban Pesach, according to Tzlach and the Tziv and maybe Tosis, etc., without that framework, the Korban Pesach doesn't you know, fully have its stature. So it's not a kula, oh, you don't have to prepare for Korban Pesach. It's only if you happen to be there. It's that if you're not there, then you can't trigger the Chovas HaGavra Korban Pesach. That's the Mokom of Klal Yisrael. That's the Mokom of the Tzibur, of the collectivity. Right? It's the Ir Shechubra Le'achta, Yerushalayim. And it's, you know, Yerushalayim Lo Neschalka L'Shvatim. But even more, that's even more true about the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're not in the proximity of the Beis HaMikdash, then, and again, I think that's what the Eretz Yisrael factor has to do with. Again, I think you mentioned Leon last time, you know, Kimi Shein Lo Eloka. But what is Kimi Shein Lo Eloka? And there's a Korban Amunah, but what's it based on? What does that even mean? So I mentioned, I think last week, that the suggestions made by some of the Achronim, right, particularly the Maram Shik, quotes somebody who says this, that the Gemara in Horios is relevant to the Ptur of Chutzlaretz. I mean, the idea that if you're living in Chutzlaretz, then you're Potter from Korban Pesach. What's the Gemara in Horios? The Gemara that says that Kahal Yisrael Sheberetz Yisrael Ikri Kahal, Kahal Yisrael Shebechutzlaretz Lo Ikri Kahal. Meaning, if Bezna Gadol makes an error, And the result is that Rov Klal Yisrael are chote. So Rov Klal Yisrael bring a single korban. If it was a minority of Klal Yisrael, then each individual would bring a korban. If it's the majority of the entire nation, one korban is brought. So it's considered a national chet and a national kapara. How do you define majority? So the Gemara says in Horios, majority is defined by who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Wow. Why? Let's say the, in other words, let's say you have like this. 80% of the diaspora Jews made a mistake and did Naveira, let's say, and 20% of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But let's say for world Jewry, I'm not talking about now, but let's say, that 80% is a huge majority of all of Klal Yisrael. Let's say there are, 100 million Halavai, Jews in the world, and let's say 70 million make a mistake and 30 million do not. But the way that it works out is that the majority, the heavy majority of the totality are in error, but they live in Chutz Laaretz. And in Eretz Yisrael, the majority happen to not make a mistake. So for purposes of Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur, it's only one korban if the majority of Eretz Yisrael Jewry makes the mistake. Even if that's a significantly small minority of world Jewry. That's very remarkable. What does it teach you? What the Gemara says, that Kahal Yisrael Shebe Eretz Yisrael Likri Kahal, Kahal Yisrael Shebe Chutz Laaretz Lo Likri Kahal. Meaning, those living in Eretz Yisrael, they are the ones who count, right, in terms of defining the majority. Why? I mean, it's like some sort of a Zionist plot, the answer is, in a way, what it establishes is that things having to do with the Tzibor, with Am Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael, many of them apply only in Eretz Yisrael, or at least there's a skut kedima, priority for Eretz Yisrael.
We have that with the Rambam and with Truma.
Okay, you're breaking up. I don't hear you. Which Rambam?
Sorry.
I couldn't hear you, bro. You were breaking up.
I'm sorry. I said you have the same thing with the Rambam, with the Truma in Eretz Yisrael, that the only time you have Chi of Truma Deraisa is when you have Ruah Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, be a schoolchem. Yeah. Which we already discussed. So the same idea.
Yeah. 100%. So, but they're slightly different, but it's basically the bigger idea is the same. So I also
It's so interesting that the Karban Pesach, the first Karban Pesach is Chutz Laaretz.
Oh, so
it had nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. So
and
I think
it reminds me of like Rav Hirsch said, the whole purpose of Matan Torah was Chutz Laaretz, because we can't just excise the fact that there is a Yadus in Chutz Laaretz.
Right.
The HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have waited to give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. You see, it didn't.
Right. I think that's an interesting explanation, and that fits Rav Hirsch's view, which is that while Eretz Yisrael is supreme, it is, and I think it's true also, we don't believe in Shlilata, what they later called Shlilata Gola, and I think that is historically true, but I think that there's a better answer to that particular question in this case, and that is the following, and that is, what Eretz Yisrael represents here is Klal Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael didn't represent Klal Yisrael fully until there was Knesset Laaretz, number one. Number two, Yetzias Mitzrayim took place in Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, it was important, and it was important that the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim be observed fully halachically as a celebration and as a remembrance, but also as a reenactment, you know, not just Sechira, but Tzipor. And therefore that first year in the Midbar was particularly important. Again, in Moshe Lamad Dover Dolma, let's give you another example of this, and then I'll just tell you something else in a second, but you know, I've spoken about this in the past, about smicha, rabbinic ordination, too. Rabbinic ordination requires Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that? The Gemara says it. How does the Gemara know it? That gets very interesting, not for now, especially in the Rambam, it's interesting. Well, actually, the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, suggests it's that Gemara and Horios, maybe. But anyways, the fact is, That smicha, the old smicha, the real smicha, the you know dinei nefashos smicha, all of that, that really requires Eretz Yisrael. But the first smicha wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. It was in the Midbar. It was the smicha of Moshe to Yoshua, and to the, and the Shivim Skenim. How could the Gemara say, and how could we paskin? Rambam pask. Rambam says that. You know, you require Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam also says every smicha, you know, goes back to Yehoshua, which goes back to Moshe. Interesting phrase. Ad beis dino shel Yehoshua, ad beis dino shel Moshe Rabbeinu. And very important, I don't want to get into all the details, but what I'm trying to say is the following. It's no stira, because what it's a din in the karka of Eretz Yisrael. Of course not. Why does smicha require Eretz Yisrael for the same reason as Paralim Dover Shel Tzibur and what we're talking about here in terms of Korban Pesach? Because that's where the collective, you know, entity of Klal Yisrael is only, or in some cases, best manifest. However, that is particularly true once Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. But it wasn't necessarily true before they stepped in, especially, that's A. B, the idea of smicha, in a way, is that Eretz Yisrael allows the representation of the interests of Klal Yisrael. But who represented the interests of Klal Yisrael better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? Again, these parshios are acquainting us with, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu and his unique stature and status, right, as a Navi and as a leader. That if you had to pick one quality of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's that he embodied the collective interests of Klal Yisrael. That's why he was the first Masmich. What you need Eretz Yisrael for, L'dorei Doros, is to try to mimic Moshe Rabbeinu. What you need Eretz Yisrael for, so it's a fascinating discussion, does Korban Pesach need Eretz Yisrael or not? We certainly know that the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim was in the Midbar and there was a Korban Pesach. And that's the origins of Pesach Sheni, Lama Nigara. But what happened after that for the rest of the next 38 years, 40 years, whatever it was there Korban Pesach in the Midbar or did they wait after that till Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, it's a debate. In Psukim, it's not clear. In Chazal, already in the Medrash, it's a debate. And in the Rishonim, it's a debate. Look at Rashi, look at Ramban. It's a huge debate. But I think part of this issue is, like, why only the first year? Because there is a pull to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Makom of Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, it's Yetzias Mitzrayim, which took place in Chutz La'aretz, and the first, you know, observance was certainly in the Midbar. It needed to be. Actually, the Maharam Shik, who I'm talking about, discusses this a little bit. He doesn't say all this that I'm saying. He has a different approach to some of these things. He leaves Mitzarachiyun, but these are kind of some of the questions and some of the issues. Okay. Anyways. So I think this is bigger. This is part of the big, big issue of Korban Pesach. And that even what seems to be the kula, as a mechatchinuch, you know, formulates it. Like, what is this, less than sukkah and shofar? It's a victim. It's not a victim. It's a function. The kula is a function of the chumrah. The circumstances have to be just right for Korban Pesach to be mechuyev. And the just right includes proximity to the Azara, because proximity to the Azara is a way of kind of expressing, you know, this tie, this intimate connection with Klal Yisrael as a unit. So again, this is very hashkafic, what I'm saying, but I believe this to be the hashkafa of the halacha in these particular halachos in a very direct manner. And it's hashkafa, but it's not drush. at least I don't think so. Okay, so now let's address the final questions. Are there any comments or questions before we get to that? The final question I want to talk about is, why was this Arma put to death? That seems a little harsh. Where did that come from? So the Michas Chinuch discusses that in the piece here that we have on page, I'm guessing it's 6. Michas Chinuch Parshas Bo Mitzvah Yodalad. Where's that?
It's on page 7, line 14.
Okay, page 7, line 14. So I want to discuss that. Before I do, did anybody have any other questions or comments? Since it's Zoom, we have to, you know, take a pause for questions now and then. No? Okay, great. So the Minchas Chinuch is troubled by this question. Where did the death penalty come from? So he tries to initially to tie. He says several things. I want to run through it very quickly. It's a fascinating Minchas Chinuch. So he says the following. He first points out, I'll just let you know before. He points out that there's an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Smag. And some other Bali tells us too. The Torah says, Kol ben nechar le'yochal bo. A ben nechar, which has two meanings. A non-Jew, a Nakri, and a Meshumad. A Benechar is prohibited from eating Korban Pesach. That is Muskam, that's agreed upon. The debate between the Rambam and the Smag and others is as follows. The Rambam, very remarkably, very Mechudash, says that the prohibition devolves upon the machil, not the ochel. Meaning, whichever Jew feeds a non-Jew or a meshumad Korban Pesach or allows him to eat it, violates. Whereas the smag says that the violation relates to the person who consumes it, the person who eats it. That's kol b'necha le'yochal bo. You can see how where it comes from in the psukim, or in the pshat of the psukim, it's very unclear. Kol b'necha le'yochal bo, meaning you're addressing the b'nechar, the meshumad, and or even the non-Jew and saying, kol b'nechar, b'nechar, don't eat it. Or you're addressing Klal Yisrael and saying, make sure, ensure, right, prevent, you know, a ben neichar, a meshumad or a nachri from eating. Right? Hard to know. Very hard to read the pasuk. Or maybe it means both. Anyways, the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka says that this refers to the machil. By the way, the Rambam also says there's no malchus. Very remarkable Rambam. The smag says it refers to the ochel. So, very rare to have an Easter in the Torah that refers to the machil. On the other hand, very rare for psukim in the Torah to be addressed directly to non-Jews, even to Mishmadim for that matter. I mean, Mishmadim are Jews, Yisraelafa Pishachata Yisraelhu. But typically you don't have mitzvahs in the Torah that are addressed specifically to a Mishumad. Kol Shekein Anachri. Or do you? I mean, it's rare for sure. Is it completely unprecedented? No, because the Torah does address, you know, Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. All right, but those are well known and well identified. And it's also in the beginning of the Torah. Parsha Bereishis, Parsha Noach.
Why couldn't it be addressed to the Erev Rav? Why did they undergo Gerus?
Why can't it be addressed to the
Erev Rav? Did they eat from the Korban Pesach?
Well, as you know, there's a huge debate about the status of the Erev Rav.
Okay.
I mean, what were they? Were they real, authentic Jews? They weren't.
What did Moshe Rabbeinu, did he give them from the Korban Pesach? Did they eat the Korban Pesach?
If they were regular Jews, then they did. And if they weren't, then they didn't. But the point is that probably they don't escape, you know, these categories of either, you know, a Yisrael, or on the other extreme, the Nachri, or a Mishumad.
So it could be referring to the Erev Rav, Kol Benecha Lo Yochobo. And it was...
I mean, you call the whole Erev Rav Kol Benecha?
Well, they
I mean, remember, this is also addressed to Dore Doros. This is one of the things I want to make a point, actually. So maybe I'll make it now. The Pesukim in Parshas Bo, again, Parshas HaShavua. It's always nice when that happens, right?
Yeah.
So the Pesukim themselves are very remarkable because they're introduced Zos Chukas HaPesach. Very rare. You're in the middle of the story of Sipur Yitzias, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the actual events themselves, Pesach Mitzrayim, right? And then all of a sudden the Torah interrupts with a halachic discourse and says, Zos Chukas HaPesach. Like, what? Now's the time to discuss the Dore Doros, the Dinam of Korban Pesach, in the middle of the story, practically. Mm-hmm. And there's what I call a drum roll. Zos Chukas HaPesach. So what would you expect? Let's say it is. I mean, it is. We're about to announce. I'm not sure why we're doing this now and here and this way. That's what I'm asking. I'll tell you why I think in a minute. But okay, we are. So what would you expect would be the first halacha that we would hear about? Zos Chukas HaPesach. The Chabura, the mitzvah of Achos HaBasar B'Layla Zeh. There are many things to talk about, many positive things to talk about. The first thing you talk about, Kol B'Necha Lo Yochabo? What's going on? Anyways, I think the answer is very simple. I'll tell you what I think the answer is right away. This will hopefully help. We just finished saying, what is Korban Pesach? Says the Chinuch, it's the Korban Amunah. Right? And the halachos of Korban Pesach really reflect that. So the first halacha, first of all, you want to stop and you want to integrate those halachos even practically into the narrative of the historical events themselves, because you want to highlight that what happened isn't just what happened. What happened was something that is eternally significant. I would say more transformative, right? It changed, you know, the course of history and of Jewish history. And therefore, these halachos, which symbolize that, are highly significant. But what's the first one? what, negative campaigning? Kol b'necha lo yochal bo. No, it's a korban amuna. And therefore, any b'nechar is excluded. This is about the particularistic kesher between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. That's why there's a hav amina in the Medrash, as I mentioned last week, that you would bring it in the context of Geirus. Right? Because it's about Yadus. More than that, Yisrael afa pishachata Yisrael, who a mishumet is obligated in mitzvos, but he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, a mitzvah sheish bakaris. A mishumet is obligated to keep Shabbos. And so on. We don't really recognize, mostly, we talked about it last year in Kulin, we don't mostly recognize his apostasy. Right? Mostly we perceive him to be, you know, an improper Jew who needs a teshuva. So we'll call b'necher le'yochabo. Call Aral le'yochabo. Typically an Aral is not excluded from bringing a korban or having a korban brought for him. Where does all this come from? The answer is, it's a korban amunah. That's the whole point. Look at the language of the chinuch. Mishrashe mitzvah zu, mashak asavnu ba'acheros lizkor yitzias mitzrayim, bavur shekorban zeh lezecher cheruseinu, uboeinu bebris nemana im Hashem yizbarach. This is a bris between us about our belief. Ra'ui shelo yehenu bo rakosim sheshlimu be'emuna. Only those people who share this belief. In other things, it's a chiyuv. It's an legal obligation. But in the korban amuna, you can't have b'shumadim, and you can't have b'nei nechar. B'heim yisraelim gemurim. V'lo elu shadayin lebo b'bris shalem imanu. V'inyin archok asa'oro me'achilos o'gam kemizah shoresh. It's a beautiful Sefer Chinuch. But I think what he's saying, as beautifully articulated and as important as it is that he, you know, revealed it, I think what he's saying is just like revealing what is obvious. Like any good Chiddush. So that's why the Torah says, but who are they speaking to? So I don't, it's the Dori Doros. I don't think it's the Eruv Rav. But here now becomes a very interesting question. This is my take on the Rambam. The Rambam, like, to be machil, that's the point? And if so already, why is it a lav shem b'maisa? But I think the answer is, it's the Yisrael with the Amuna, who is being addressed here. I mean, you have to appreciate and know what Korban Pesach really is. And it's a total breach and betrayal of Korban Pesach. Right? If you feed it in the name of lack of standards, you know, some sort of misguided liberalism. You know, we want to share it with our non-Jewish neighbor. Nothing to do with discrimination. It's just inappropriate. That this is an internal, very particularistic. Even to our, you want to be Makari of the Meshumad. Assuming he's Makarivable. Right? But as long as he's a Meshumad, feeding him, allowing him, enabling him to eat Korban Pesach is totally inappropriate. Because that makes a mockery of what Korban Pesach is. So it belongs here. The halachos reflect what it is. And not only that, but the first thing to say in Zos Chukas HaPesach is called Benechar LaYochobo. Shumad and God. So that's why the Rambam thing, it's a lavshim b'maisa, meaning it's not the act of hachala. It's the improper understanding of and perspective on what this is, namely what the korban emuna is. That's the problem. That's a lavshim b'maisa. But it's still very severe. Anyways, the Smag didn't understand it that way. Smag understood it that it goes on the Ochel, not on the Machil. Typically we don't address Mishumadim and non-Jews. So look at Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, Hine b'smag nir dalav hu ba'ochel. Right, Aval Rambam or Rav Mechaber, that's the Sefer Chinuch. Sovrim Dalav Koyal Machil. Okay, Ube Emes Dasa Smag Tzorachiyum. The position of the Smag is problematic. Nehida Ef Shalomer Daakum Damkein Detzavu. You could say that a non-Jew is the one who is the recipient, the object of the tzivui. Unlike the view, Kesef Mishnah rejects the Smag because he says, like, Heichan Matzinu. And again, after Bereishis and Noach, he's mostly right. Right? He says, the Lo Shayach said to Lo Tzayis, Hab Emes Mevorbis Sanhedrin, Hakum Nitztavu Al Kama Mitzvos, Im Kein Hachanami. Michas Chinuch says, that doesn't bother me. The Metzvah B'nei Noach, we're talking to non-Jews. But as I said, that's in Bereishis and Noach, not after Lech Lecha. Moreover, we're also talking to Jews. I'll get to that in a minute. We're talking to all peoples. All right, we'll get to that part. Avo be'emes lo matzino zeh b'Sanhedrin, da'akum yeh mitzvah shel yochel ha'pesach. The kol mitzvos shalom nistavu mikodem raka yidei Moshe Rabbeinu lo matzinu sheyakum mizarim al zeh. Kind of says a little bit what we just said. He says, listen, the fact that the Torah would address non-Jews in a mitzvah, that per se we have precedent. Shem mitzvah b'dei noach. The problem is, right, after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have find that. A. B. Where do we ever find in Masechet Sanhedrin, in the Nuns, where they formulate, you know, the din of Mitzvah B'nai Noach, where do we find that they're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach? We know Eivor Menachai, we know Gezel, we know Dinim, we know, right? But we don't, the Gemara there doesn't quote, this is one of the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, right? Lo matzinu sheyakum mizorim hazeh, al kein, al korchach, ase alav lamachil, ayin shem b'sanei, so it must be that the Rambam is right. However, he says, skip a little to the next paragraph. Upashat ha-machil afilu la'akum chereshot v'katon gam kin over b'lav hazeh. So according to the Rambam, he thinks that the Isser in Benechar refers to machil, he says, right? That's even true. Let's say you're being machil chereshot v'katon. So they themselves are insignificant. Right, because it's the machil's avera. It's his lack of comprehension of what Korban Pesach is truly all about. Right? The Ben Noach Shayach said. So that's an interesting point, right? According to the Smag, if a cheresh shotev katan, you know, eats korban Pesach, maybe they would be potter, or not. Maybe there's no din of cheresh shotev katan. We'll see in a moment. This is the main reason why we're reading this Minchas Chinuch. It's very interesting. But what's it got to do with us? The answer is as follows. It says the Minchas Chinuch, Ora Remez Raya Lesmag, Da Akum Ba'atzmo Metzuva. Maybe we could bring a proof to the Smag that a non-Jew himself is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. To Mevur B'Psachim Gimel Ahu Arma, the Solik B'Yachol Psachim, Badku Basrei, right? The Ashkecher Amov Katluhu, Ulchura Mai Katlu. He quotes our Gemara. He says, you see from our Gemara, why did they give him the death penalty? On what basis? Ulchura Mai Katlu. Vim Eina Muzer Alze. He didn't do anything wrong. According to the Rambam, the Isser is on the Machil, not on the Ochel. Aval das hasmag. Do atzom muzer al zeh. Bazarasan b'nei Noach zui misasan. Al kocha katlu. According to smag, it's like shevnitz b'nei Noach. Bazarasan zui misasan. It's always the death penalty. Right? And it's his avera. So that's why they killed the Arma, because he deserved the death penalty. He violated a mitzvah of Bnei Noach. It doesn't appear in Sanhedrin. It's definitely not one of the seven. Ve'ena raya gemura, da'ashkechei da'akumu, ve'ena machzik b'zayin mitzvahs, gam kein Ramban. Okay, fine. Mikom mokom nir de'lo kasha l'asmag, ma shehiksha de'lo kasha b'sanhedrin mitzvah zu. He says, what about the fact that according to the Smag, it should have been on the list of Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach? It should have been the eighth. The Kamar Shevat Asal Lachashuv, Imkain Efshar Gam Kain Lomar, the Chashuv Rak Mitzvos, Shalahem, Shenoig La'olam B'chomokom B'chol Zman. Ava Mitzvah Zu Shenoig Elam Zman HaMikdash, Ubi Yerushalayim, Lo Kachashuv. Maybe you could say, says Minchas Chinuch, that the list of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach that applies only to mitzvahs that apply at all times. But if mitzvahs apply only occasionally, right, that doesn't work for them. That's not part of the list. It sounds very arbitrary. I mean, it is a distinction. Right? Mitzvahs that are constant. Hever Menachai is constant, and you know, not betraying your marriage is a constant, and the Yisra of Avodah Zarah is a constant, and Gezel is a constant. Korban Pesach only applies on once a year. Is that really a reason not to qualify as Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach? That's a suggestion in Michas Chinuch. I'm going to tell you what I think it means in just a second. The Kessel Mishnah said that the Torah never addresses non-Jews. Doesn't make sense. Ubevadi matzah haram zeh be'ezah mokom. The efshar da'ochel gamkin muzol das harambam gamkin v'tzorach hiyun. He wonders whether, according to the Rambam, let's say you're a mishuman and you eat. Maybe you're also in violation. Maybe the Rambam meant the machil and the ochel. In my opinion, if this is true, it would only be true for the Meshumad, who's still a Jew. It would not be true for a non-Jew. Okay. Avodas ha-smag mavur behedja Dina Machal over Raka Ochel. Anyways, his first answer, why it isn't on the list of Shev Mitzvah Noach is what? Because it's not B'chol Mokom or B'chol Zman. Okay, hold that back for a minute. I'm going to explain what I think it means in a minute. He has a second explanation. Odei Shlomer La'asmag, Diloka Choshev Elamashe Mitzavim Ki Yisrael. Avamashe Yisrael Eina Mitzuvah, the Adarab Mitzvah Ika Lechol, Rak Be Noach Muzar, Lo Kachashiv. Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach are mitzvos that apply to non-Jews, right, that have a parallel to Jews. Does they apply to Jews and non-Jews in some respect? But here, it's all about contrasting Jews and non-Jews. It's about saying Korban Pesach belongs to Klal Yisrael, right? And it excludes non-Jews, Bnei Noach. So you can't put that on the list of Shema. What are the Shemas Bnei Noach? You can't, you know, murder. You can't betray your marriage, right? You can't violate Avodah Zarah. No Gezel. Can't violate Dinim. These are all things which Bnei Noach share, albeit in diluted fashion, with Klal Yisrael. Right? So that's his second explanation. Achadrona B, he says, the only thing that bothers me is the Mivur, Hashem to Akum Sheshavas, which also like Petorah Chayev, Afgav Yisrael Mitzuvah. Okay. Anyways, that doesn't bother me so much. Either way, they're not Shevitz B'nei Noach. They are closer to this thing. What is the significance of B'kol Eso B'kol Zman and sharing with Klal Yisrael in order to qualify as Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach? I think the answer is as follows. Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and the reason that they're treated so harshly, right, as a Russell Zui Misaso, is precisely because this is a code of humanity. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam demands from Tzelem Elokim, from those who, right, minimally have that status and stature of Tzelem Elokim. The reason that Azaras Zui Misaso is because there aren't that many laws that govern the life of Bnei Noach. But the ones that do, and precisely because there aren't so many, are the ones that generate a kind of minimum code for civilized, refined, you know, people who, as I say, represent and reflect Tzelem Elokim. If that's what Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach really are, it's that kind of a code. It's like, you know, the core principles of what it means to lead a purposive, civilized life. If that's really what it is. So then you can understand that likely it's things that are b'chol mokom or b'chol zman. They're ubiquitous things. They're things that define a refined and purposeful religious life. And for the same reason, they have to have an overlap, notwithstanding the difference with Klal Yisrael. That's Klal Yisrael's Dine Kashrus are much more extensive than Eivor Menachai. And their Dine Gezel are more Kal and more Chamor at the same time. And their Dine Ishus. But they have to share with Klal Yisrael because it's a code of behavior which differentiates man from the rest of creation, and which justifies an anthropocentric focus, I mean a focus on, you know, human beings as being, as I say, elevated creatures. So I think that even though Michas Chinuch, I don't know if he meant it this way, Michas Chinuch is just trying to explain how could it be that eating Korban Pesach is a violation for Ben Noach, and that's what the pasuk means, but it's not counted on the list of Shevmetz Bnei Noach in Sanhedrin. So he says, oh, because it's not b'chol mokom b'chol zman. Oh, because it's not something, it's something which differentiates Jews and non-Jews. It's not something which non-Jews share with, in a more broad way, Jews. That's what B'chaz Chinuch said. I'm trying to show that the pattern of those two answers, I'm not sure if he meant it, is something that highlights what Shevmetz Bnei Noach really are. And that is a code, right? A refined, way of living, right, that justifies man's, special status and his special prerogatives in the world. Okay. Either way, the Michal Chinuch has another suggestion. Why does that? So far his suggestion is that the reason that this Arma was put to death is because he violated, an Iser ben Noach. It isn't on the list of Shevmetz ben Noach for the reasons that discussed, but it is still a violation about which we say Azarasa Zumisaso, and therefore it triggers the death penalty. He has another suggestion, and that is that this is really Gazal. I think somebody mentioned it last week. Could have been Dr. Maybrook, I don't remember. And that is as follows, that eating, even the Chelak HaBailim, right, even the part that is given not to the Kohen, of Kachim Kalim, Korban Pesach, is an act of stealing Mishulchan Gavoah. Because even though we eat the Korban Pesach, and we eat, maybe even more broadly, Kachim Kalim, Rashi, in Bava Kama and elsewhere, suggests that it's Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, which means that while we eat it as kind of a guest at the Rabbonu Shalom's table. And therefore, when somebody who wasn't invited to the table, who doesn't have the mitzvah to eat it, eats it, that constitutes an act of Gezel. And Gezel is one of the Shevmetz Bnei Noach. Okay, so that's what I want you to see. The Odei Shlomar. One second. No. Let's continue. Odnir Lefian is title of Das Rashi, Kiddushin above a comma, Shevesil el de Kachim Kalim, Achar Shchita, Afilu Chelik Abailim, Gamkein, have a Mamon Gavoa. Rach rather be Shulchan Gavoa, Kazachu Lachila. Aval Kadesh Boisha in a Shalom. Right? Imke Nira, Demakom Ochel Kachim Kalim, Shlomim Opsachim, over Gamkin al Gezel, Kibenoach Mitsuva al Gezel. Mali Gezel, Hedget Mali Gezel, Gavoa. So this is the suggestion of the Michal Chinuch. But of course, according to this, this chiddush would apply for a non-Jew who eats Kachim Kalim, not just Korban Pesach. Okay, so these are the approaches of the Minchas Chinuch, which I think are very significant and telling. But what I'd like to suggest is maybe all these are true, maybe some of these are true. Hard to know. But what I would like to suggest in the end of the day is the following. Everything I said before about the centrality of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and the fact that it's a Korban Amuna and the fact that the Torah says Zos Lukas HaPesach and the din, of course, of Kol Orel Loyochabal Kol Ben Nechar Mishumad, all the things that we've been saying, including, the Kula, which is Noveya from the Chomra of the Tzlach, which is you have to be Bekir of Mokom in order to be Chayv Korban Pesach, yet it's a mitzvah seishesh bokares. All of this highlights the special status of Korban Pesach. The idea that this Arma'a was going around making a mockery of it, tricking people by misrepresenting himself, dragging, any mitzvah to be dragged through the mud is a terrible chilul Hashem. But particularly Korban Pesach, which is emblematic of the special relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, and one which is rooted and anchored in this sense of reliance, and commitment, and conviction. So aside from the legal question, I don't know whether it was a Horah Shah or not, but what he did was particularly egregious. And it sounds like he knew it. He was boasting about it. Okay. So that's in terms of the little discussion of the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira. I thought it was an interesting, it's not the main part of the perek, certainly, but I thought it was an interesting feature. So now let's move on to Bedikas Chametz, let's begin, on Dalet Amud Aleph. So let's go to the two dots. The Gemara says, the Hashta de Kaimelon de Kula Alma or Urtahu. Right now, this is on Dalet Amud Aleph. Go down 13 lines down from the top. Okay? So the Gemara says, V'hashta d'kaimelon d'lekula alma or urta. Now that we have established that or means erev, means night, mechti, we should ask the following question. Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rabbi Meir, right? There's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir when the Isra of Chametz begins on Erev Pesach, right? Whether it's at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, we're all somewhat familiar with that discussion. But bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rabbi Meir, Chametz eino asar l'mishei shol salamala. The real Isser is certainly only the Doraisa Isser at Chatzos. So that's the case. Why are we doing Bedikas Chametz Lel Yadalet? B'nivdok B'sheis or B'shis. Why don't we do the Bedika at 6? Right? Meaning at Chatzos. The 6th hour. B'chitema Zrizin Magdim in the mitzvos. Lest you say that the reason that we do Bedikas Chametz Lel Yadalid is the din of Zrizin Magdim in the mitzvos. Nivdok Mitzafra. So let's do the Bedika in the morning. Why do we have to do it at night? Tichsiv Ubayom HaShmini Yimol B'Sara Or Laso. Torah says that the time for Bris Mila is on the 8th day. Netanya kol hayom kulo kosher l'mila. That the entire day b'di'eved you could do the mila. Ela shezrizim makdim in the mitzvos. But we apply the principle of zrizim makdim in the mitzvos. Shenemar v'yashkem Avram baboker. Avram, right, got up early in the morning. So based on the principle of zrizim, right? The Gemara is saying, you should only have had to introduce Bedikas Chametz in the morning. So let's pause for a moment here. A very strange Gemara. Very difficult Gemara. Like, what is the Gemara saying? Gemara is trying to figure out why we make Bedikas Chametz at night. Right, what's the reason for that? Why don't we do it in the morning? No, first the Gemara says, why don't you do it Bizmana Isar at Chatzos? The answer to that is Zrizin Magdim in the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Zrizin Magdim in the mitzvahs, for that you could do the morning. You don't need to do the night. Baharaya. What's the raya? Bris Mila. Bris Mila can be done all day. The reason Makdimin says you should do it earlier. And then when do you do it? In the morning. So let me ask you a simple question. Is this a good equation? Meaning, what is the options in Bris Mila?
Bris Mila can only be done during the day. We can't do it at night.
Excellent. Exactly the point. Bris Mila at night is puzzle. It says it's Bayom, Mashmini. If you do Bris Mila at nighttime, right, too early, in other words, not the eighth day, then the Bris Mila is no good. So this Gemara doesn't prove that when you have an option to do it early, it's still sufficiently zrizin as long as you do it first thing in the morning. Because that option just doesn't exist. Which is why, by the way, probably why, the Rif had a different girsa. What's a Rif's girsa? If you look at the side of the Gemara, you can look it up in the Rif in the back. But if you look at the side of the Gemara, you already see it. Barif gores, the chitem is reason magdim in the mitzvos, lest you say the reason why you're starting at night and you're not starting at chatzos is because of zrizin. Kidichsiva bayom hashmini yimal melamed shekolayom kasher. Elisha's reason like the mitzvos, Shenemar Vashkim of Ramba Boker, Benivdok, Mitzafra. Meaning, he flipped it around a little bit, the gears of the riff. The Raya, all we're quoting Bris Mila for, according to the riff, is to prove what? That there is a concept of Zrizim Magdim of the Mitzvos, which pushes things earlier. Then, and that's all we're quoting Bris Mila for. Bris Mila is kosher all day long, but you're supposed to do it first thing in the morning because there's reason. That proves that even though Bedikas Chametz could theoretically take place at Chatzos or a little before, right? Right? There's a good reason to do it earlier, maybe at nighttime, because reason. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but then why wouldn't it be good enough to do it in the morning? They're not saying, why isn't it good enough in the morning like Mila? No, they finished with Mila already. All they wanted to prove from Mila was that there's a notion called Zrizim Magdimin, and that it impacts the timing of the mitzvah. Now the Gemara is saying, okay, great, but but why does that mean you have to do it at the earliest time? Maybe it just means you shouldn't do it at the latest time. Or maybe you should do it at a significant early moment, but not necessarily the earliest. So maybe first thing in the morning. That, in other words, according to the Girsa of the Rif, we're not learning the morning part, meaning applying Zrizin only to the morning is not learned from Mila, according to the Rif's Girsa. It's much better. Because the question that you asked before is 100% correct. You can't learn from Mila that Zrizin is limited to the morning. The reason that Mila is limited to the morning is because Mila at night is Lifnei Zmano, and it's not a proper Mila. But Rashi and others do have this girsa. It's like, what is it? So Rashi, Tosis actually seems to say that it's a kind of gzeres hakasuv. The Ran, maybe with the girsa of the Rif, says it's a svara, meaning you're not learning from Mila, but, you know, maybe it's enough that you're being makdim to the morning. Who says you have to be makdim to the previous night? Means rizim requires, you know, some, you know, time sensitivity, but it doesn't mean the earliest possible moment. If you do have the girsa, not of the Rif, but the girsa of our Gemara, this is very strange. Unless you think, this is something to think about, but I'm not going to go into it now, that Zriza Makdim in the mitzvahs isn't just exemplified by Bris Milah, but that the din of Bris Milah is so central. It is so paradigmatic, right? Because it's not just any mitzvah. It's a mitzvah seishesh bakaris, right? The only other one of which is Korban Pesach. And I'll say this, as I said before, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Mila, Halacha Aleph, characterizes Mila as mitzvah seishesh bakaris. In Korban Pesach, he just says that's the only. In Bitel, Korban Pesach, you get karis. But he just calls it a mitzvah seish. In a way, Mila isn't just a mitzvah. Neither is Korban Pesach, but let's forget about Korban Pesach for the moment. Mila is, you know, there's a, I've said this in the past, you know, we make two brachos at a Mila. Right? Al mitzvah Mila and Nachnisa Barisa Shel Avraham Avinu. And the relationship between the two and exactly when we say each one, these are all interesting questions and issues. But the upshot is that, like, why do we, this is a phenomenon itself is strange. As are other phenomena, you know, in addition to the mitzvah seishesh bakaris. The kares that you get, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Raivan. Every day you get kares, or every day you deserve kares until you take care of this mitzvah? That's, you know, the view of the Raivan. That's very mechudash. But the Rambam is equally mechudash. The Rambam says, the kares, if you live your whole life without doing a bris milah for yourself, when it becomes your obligation, right, then at that point you become chayv kares a minute before you die. Also strange. Both of them are strange. What is it? And what is this bracha of lachnisa b'risa shel Avraham Avinu? And many other things. The answer is, I think, that Mila as a bris, of course it's a mitzvah in its own right. Of course. But Mila is also the mitzvah which coordinates other mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah that establishes Kedushas Yisrael for a male, you know, child and for a ger, who's Mizgayer. And possibly because of the symbol of it, you know, it implies restriction and completion. Completion by means of restriction, right? There are two views in the Gemara already, and then in the Rishonim, and then the Tame Mitzvos, Chinuch and the Rambam, where the Chinuch is self-perfection or self-affliction, right? Both are true. Right, it implies discipline, self-restraint, sacrifice. But that the ability for man to do that is itself his completion, his shleimus. But the point is, the bigger point about Mila is, that's why you have the second bracha, is that this perspective, this dialectic, you know, of discipline being the gateway, right, to creativity and to shleimus, that idea is the principle of Torah mitzvos. That's why Mila is a bris. That's what a bris is. And that's why you say lachniso bevriso shel Avraham Avinu. It affects all mitzvos. That's why it's mitzvah sheis bakaris. Why am I telling you all this? So in a way, that's why it's one of the earliest mitzvos too. It's the mitzvah, you know, of Avraham Avinu. And it was the necessary mitzvah, again, talking about the parsha, you know, chasan damim Lamulot. In the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's mission, in his transition, right, he's mitrashel, seemingly, you know, he's lax about Mila. And he almost dies. It's a very strange parsha if you read it. Just the words, just reading the words, just understanding what the words mean is obscure. And then you have to look at Chazal, Mefarshim, etc. But I think what's really, really going on, that's what Mila is. Mila is unique in that it is what mediates all mitzvahs. It's the principle behind, it's not the only one. So it's tzitzis and some shkula keneged, kol mitzvahs in a different way. But certainly Mila is that. Why am I telling you this now? If you have the girsa that we have here, not the girsa of the Rif. So the Gemara doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says that Zrizun Magdim and the mitzvos can be limited to the morning from Mila? Like you said, there's no choice in Mila. In Bedikas Chametz, we're trying to figure out, is the proper Zman in Chatzos? Is the proper Zman in the morning? Or is the proper Zman at the very beginning of the calendar day at night? So the Gemara says, what, because of you're motivated by Zrizim, Magdim, and the mitzvahs? That's enough that it should be in the morning. Like Mila. Our Girsa. Like Mila? That's not Zrizim. That's how Zrizin could go further, back further, but we only make it in the morning. But maybe the answer is that Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvos itself is patterned after Mila. Because Mila isn't simply a mitzvah. And the urgency of Kares and all that, and meaning Mila is the mitzvah for Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, what they're saying is, we patterned when your Zar is, it's not, we'll get to this in a minute, it's not just that there's a din klali to be Zar is b'mitzvahs. Maybe Zrizin has a particular association, not just because, you know, that's the din here in Mila. It's not an example. It's the paradigm. It's the example. And it's not just happened to be the example. It's the example because Mila itself is all about being Zariz l'mitzvos. So when you're Zariz b'mitzvos, in a way, you're in every other mitzvah that you're doing, you're bringing, you know, kind of an aspect, an imitation of Bris Mila. Maybe. Or the original Zrizin within the context of Mila, which isn't just a Hechetimtzi anymore, but it's a Hechetimtzi for all mitzvos, and for this particular mitzvah as its paradigm. That's the best I can do with it. Otherwise, in this Girsa, it just doesn't, it's just strange. Very strange. Okay, let's continue.
So Harab, then the Gemara says, Harab, yeah. Just yeah. When the Gemara is going through its Shachlataria, when it assumes that Bedikas Chametz could be done at Chatzos, did they at that point then do Beetle with the Bedika like we do at the nighttime? Because by that time it's already too late to do Beetle Chametz.
Yeah, that's a great point. I guess not. I mean, it's only a Havamina.
I'm saying that means they had a whole different idea of when the Beetle Chametz was.
It would have been, for sure. And not only that, it puts Bedika as part of Biur, basically, which may still be true in some respects, you know, because we do make the bracha al Biur Chametz. But I think it's a great point. The only thing I'm qualifying about it is that the Gemara always knew that it wasn't so. They're just wondering why it isn't so. It's not like there was a view that thought that in fact this is so. The Gemara knows and knew that it was never so. And the Gemara is questioning and wondering, why isn't it? You know what I'm saying? So it never got to the point of they're like, oh, there's some shita, you know, a Tosas Rid or an Abba Shaul, or, you know, or there's a Gemara that thinks, you know, that that might have been the practice. But I still think you're right. Had it been really at Chatzos, then it would be disconnected from Bittul. Or maybe they mean by Chatzos, you know, that it's done so that it can coincide with Chatzos. We'll get to Lifnei Nachar Zman and Bir and Bittul and all that soon. Okay? But it's a good point. Okay. So, yeah. So the Gemara thought that the reason... okay. So that's my take on the Girsa that we have in the relationship of Mila and Zrizin as a paradigm. I think if it's true, I think it's an important point. It's a very neglected Shaklavataria in terms of Zrizin. Okay. Either way, the other possibility, I think I mentioned that Tosa says it's like a Gzeres HaKasuv, you know, and this is where we learn it from. That could work in with what I'm saying a little bit. The Ran says it's a Svara. Maybe what he means by that is, again, maybe not with the Girsoi, maybe with the Rif's Girsoi, hard to know. But maybe what he means by that is, Zrizim Akdim in the Mitzvos has to be the earliest possible time. Or just has to be a distinctive time which highlights or which accentuates, you know, an earlier time. It's an interesting question. Because in the end of the day, our Gemara doesn't end like this. This is the only Gemara I'm aware of that says that somehow Tzafra, or not the earliest time, is good enough for his reason. Does this Gemara get maintained Lamaskana? Hard to know. Because the Gemara goes on to say, just give me another minute. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, B'shasher b'dana mitzum b'batayim v'arner yafel b'dika. No. I should say no. The Gemara says, the reason we do it at night is because that's when people are home. And also because Aranair is Yafel Abedika. And then the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, Hilka Chaitzru B'Marabonon. If you have a shear, Talmud Chacham gives a shear, Lo Liftach B'idnei B'Urta D'Tleis of the Nagyar Besar. You shouldn't give the shear in the transition between the day of the 13th and the night of the 14th. Because maybe you'll get carried away with the shear. Sometimes happens. Apparently, believe it or not, Magide Shear in years, yonder, used to go overtime. Shocking, right? Like they didn't finish exactly the moment when they were supposed to. Sometimes they get carried away a little bit. But mitzvah. Okay, so we'll pick up with this next week. But the point is, because we're not like that. But the Gemara turns its back on Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvah. So the Gemara is explaining why in this particular case Zrizin is even earlier. Because it's also better for it. If you look at the Me'iri Alatar, the Me'iri says, you know, therefore the Zrizin in this particular case should go back even earlier. It's not enough to have Zrizin in the morning. Because it's also better quality mitzvah lay earlier. But then it sounds like the Me'iri is saying that Zrizin is associated with the quality time to do the mitzvah. Or what he's saying is that can be an additional effect. If you can go earlier, and there's reason to go earlier, you should go earlier. Either way, the Maskana, the Gemara doesn't, no Gemara, as far as I know, maintains that Zrizin is limited to the morning when the Zman HaMitzvah is earlier. Hard to know. What is the significance of this? So I think it depends on how you look at, well, I'll tell you the other alternative first. When the Gemara says Lefikach, even though the Me'iri says it's still Zrizin, but we're adjusting the Zrizin backwards even more, earlier even. Then it's hard to know whether the standard is just a milestone like the morning, unless there's substantive reason to go earlier, then it becomes his reason thing too. But the other Rishonim, like the Ritva, other Rishonim like that, say, when the Gemara says Lefikach, don't get carried away with the Shir. What the Gemara meant was, it's not just reason Magdim, and it's much more than that. This is a special din in Bedikas comments. So we want to talk about that next week. And I want to speak a little more about Zrizin also. Is Zrizin generally just a kind of a din klali? And it's about enthusiasm for the mitzvah? Or maybe that you shouldn't, you know, forget about it. It's like a siag. There's a very interesting line in the Meiri. Works in nicely a little bit with what I was saying about Bris Mila, but in a different way. Meiri in Yuma says, maybe Zrizin Makdimin is a way of imitating the Avos. Like you do mitzvahs like Avram Avinu did. I was saying more like, when you do a mitzvah, bring some Bris Mila Zrizas to it. You know? But, so we'll talk a little bit about Zrizin. I'm not going to speak much. It's a big topic. But, you know, this is an interesting question. What happens when you have a clash? Halacha l'maaseh, you have it all the time. Anybody who's made a bris, you know, not anybody, but if you made a few of them, you've had this at some point. Like, let's say the better mohel, the more prominent mohel, or, you know, family members or rabbeim, the person who might be the sandak, you know, he can only show up at, you know, late morning or early afternoon, or relatives for that matter. Like, what happens when you have a choice between Zrizin and Zekeli, or Zrizin and getting a Krabrovam Hadras Melach? Right? How do you weigh those things? The huge, huge literature about Bris Milas that always happen. There's like tons of discussions already about this. Right? But in other mitzvahs too. How do you weigh being zariz and other factors, you know, that increase or that, you know, that affect the quality, you know, and the performance of mitzvahs? It's an interesting question. Is reason, you know, just in din klali and it's just about enthusiasm? Or does it really kind of establish the earliest possible time or an clearly early time based on your enthusiasm as a din in the zman of this particular mitzvah too. Okay? So those are some things I want to talk about briefly, just for a few minutes. Mostly I want to speak about bedikas chametz in light of this. And again, this idea of, you know, not having a shir or mariv, you know, bizman kavua, briefly. And then we'll move on to the next topics of the page. Okay? I wish everybody a good week. And Mirza Shemu will continue next week.